the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Alan Quinlan, good morning to you. Come on in.
Morning, lads. How are you?
How are you getting on?
Good, thanks, yeah. Not a bother.
We had you on during the week, but it was before the confirmation of the RG Snyman. Everybody suspected as much, but the severity of the injury, obviously, in relation to the AC, and we're looking at whatever it might be, 6 to 12 months layoff there. And the reaction to O'Quinney has been the interesting for me, from all, including within the club, maybe slightly at odds with the usual reaction that you get. You know, those sort of cliches about, listen, we've got great replacement and one man's injury is another man's opportunity sort of thing. Like, it's been pretty honest about the impact of his loss and how much damage it's going to do to this team. In a normal season, to try and quantify what that loss is, does it, his removal, move them from possible Heineken Cup contenders to not? Or how would you view his loss?
I think the level of player he is, Adrian, does probably take away that bit of excitement that was there, and it's gone from excitement to devastation. Really, he's a massive loss. I think you can build a game plan around someone that's impactful and that big and strong and athletic. And I know a lot of Munster's play they would have wanted to do, and things they wanted to do were revolving around RG Snyman and some of his carries. But he's, I haven't watched him pretty closely in the last couple of years, and I've done a good few South African games. I know he's come off the bench, but Etzebeth was probably the starting lock, and another freakish athlete. So I just think that someone like him gets over the game line, gets his hands through, makes lots of line breaks himself. So the level of his loss is just phenomenal for Munster. But, you know, I suppose after a challenging week of dealing with that and the disappointment, I just think you could, even though there was no crowd at the game, you could probably feel the vast majority of people at home, maybe bar the rivals, particularly Munster people anyway, just going, the curse has struck again. And it's a tough week for him because Joey Carberry is as big a loss for a period of time. So it's been, you think if Tadhg Byrne, RG Snyman, Joey Carberry, Matt Gallagher, these guys were in the mix for Munster, and that little bit of depth that possibly they need to take that next step to maybe be in a Champions Cup final, as it's a big blow for him. But it is an opportunity for Thomas Ahern, Fineen Witcherly, some of these guys that's but it's the depth chart, you know. I did the Racing game in round six, their last, was it round five, when they went out of Europe this year, and the impact off the bench for Racing was very, very telling. And the same type of impact didn't come from Munster, even though they put in a heroic performance. And we see how successful Leinster have been in the last number of years. It's just that depth in the squad and that level of player to have right through the squad. And that's what has to happen if you want to win European Cups. And but look, it's a massive blow, but they have no choice but to dust themselves down and say, well, look, we're one player, one out World Cup winner, better than we were last year with Diolinde, who I was very impressed with. And but there's no doubt about it, Snyman will be such a massive loss. He'd be a loss to any team.
Alan, obviously it's part of pro sports, and as you say, the only option they have is to just get the head down and carry on. But I mean, human instinct is difficult to surmount sometimes. From your experience, when you get a couple of heavy blows to a squad's morale like this, how long can it take can it be a situation where it's very difficult to get out of the funk? Because I'm sure there was a pall around the Munster setup when the news came through that the guy that we've spent so much time talking about, having learned about the deal so long ago, that he's gone essentially for the entire season.
Yeah, well, I think, like I said, there was lots of he trained unbelievably well in the last few weeks. He's had a real impact and inspired people around him and excited people around him to play with him. He's 6'10". He runs like a winger when he makes line breaks. He's absolutely devastating in breaking up the opposition mauls. He's a line out winner. And so I think they probably knew Saturday night. I think after the game, when the physio checked him on the field, and they would have had a good check in on his knee inside the dressing room. It's fairly obvious sometimes when you check the stability of the knee, how much movement is in it, that there's a major problem. So I think I feel sorry for Johan van Gran, because I know he's been under pressure, and this was a chance to, you know, really work with a top quality squad and way more depth in it. And there's a lot of excitement about some of the young players that have come through: Jack O'Sullivan, Gavin Coombs, John Hodnett, Craig Casey, Ben Healy, Jake Flannery, Jack Crowley, these guys, Thomas Ahern. You know, it's probably a while since Munster were able to name 6, 7, 8 young players that people are excited about. Coupled with the new signings, he was now getting a side. And, you know, Stephen Larkham, who only came in last September, didn't get to work with a lot of these players when they were away at the World Cup. I think a good pre-season with him, Graham Rowntree, that things were looking really up for him. And, you know, then with the Carberry news and the Snyman news, it's a setback. And I think with teams I've been in over the years, probably, and it's easy to say this, Dave, but if you dwell too much on the fact that such a big player is gone, you're saying, well, if only we had Snyman, we would have won that game against Leinster. If only we had Snyman, we would have won that game, you know, against Racing in Europe. And they just got to put it to the back of their minds now, and hopefully, you know, it's the end of August. If he gets his operation pretty quickly, he could be back within 5.5, 6 months. I know that from personal experience. I think the medics and the general public are talking 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 months. But there is a possibility he could be back after 5.5, 6 months. So what they've got to try and do now is make sure this side of Christmas that, you know, when the new campaign for Europe starts off, that, you know, come the end of January, they're in contention to try and make the knockout stages, and that, you know, it'd be an incredible boost to have him coming back for knockout stages next April if that was the case. So it is an opportunity for the younger players, but it's going to be hard for them to process it. And it's been a bit of a distraction because you can feel sorry for yourself and use it as an excuse. As I said, they have a very, very dangerous proposition in Connacht on Sunday. A game they have to win now. Scarlets are playing Dragons away. They get a bonus point win. I know Munster's points difference is good, but if Scarlets get a bonus point win and Munster were to lose the game and not get at them, they're not in the semi-final. So you can get easily distracted. They've got a win against the Connacht side, who we saw last Sunday were fantastic, and they'll certainly throw the ball around again on Sunday. And so they've got to get their focus really quickly again and put this behind them.
Yeah, and even, I mean, like, he'll be focused on his recovery, I'm sure, in the short term, but having a guy like that around, some of the names that you mentioned, Quinny, that are coming through, I'm sure it won't do them any harm as well over the intervening period. It's not like as if he's entirely lost to them, a World Cup winner from a learning point of view as well. Will you just talk to us a bit? We were supposed to see a couple of teams last weekend, or four teams last weekend, who were rusty, obviously they haven't been off for such a forced spell. And on the Leinster-Munster game particularly, like, that Toner steal at the end was a ludicrously dexterous play. For someone who hadn't played in that long. We'll know more about Leinster, obviously, post the Ulster game this weekend, which it looks like it goes ahead. The Saracen game looms quite easily. They've themselves had some good results after a bit of a sticky return to begin with. How impressed were you by Leinster last weekend?
Well, I think they'll be disappointed with how close the game was at the end. I think Leo Cullen conveyed that after the match. I think they probably would have sat in the dressing room thinking it was too close for comfort. It just didn't have that feeling of a big derby win, because they were in a position of I think they were 11 points up at 60 minutes. They'll get better. Leinster will get better. They still have that. I think they just have a standard of performance and intensity and energy about whoever takes the field for them. I think that's what happens when you're a championship winning side, and they'll get better, but they've got to be very, very mindful. I know it's a couple of weeks away. They play Munster most probably in a semi-final and then a Pro 14 final. They'll want to try and wrap up the Pro 14 and win that before They really take their focus, put their focus on that Saracens game. But Saracens are a bit like Connacht at the moment, which, you know, when you have a... They're in, it's a quarterfinal of Europe for sure, but probably Saracens have some changes. They've lost some players, and the expectation will be that they'll come to Dublin and Leinster will win. It makes them a very dangerous proposition. They have some world-class players on their side and some real winners. And with Owen Farrell as kind of the main man there, I think, you know, their drive and desire to try and win, beat Leinster will be immense. So it is a very dangerous proposition. So they can't take their eye off the ball, but it's something they can't look too far ahead either. I think the coaches will be more so focusing, keeping an eye on Saracens, watching their games, trying to put together a team that'll start against Leinster in a couple of weeks. But it is a dangerous proposition for them. And Saracens will be coming to Dublin thinking, you know, we've give this an almighty crack. And most of those players have won in Dublin before, whether it be with England, and they have that experience. So it's something that looms. It's a very, very busy period for Leinster in the next couple of weeks. And that's why, obviously, I think they'll make a lot of changes for the Ulster game tomorrow night. They'll be looking at a semi-final next week, and then from their point of view, hopefully a final, and then it's a run of 2 weeks of Europe as well. So it's a really intense period for them.
So you're not looking at that Leinster-Ulster game as a thing that's going to be a key, like if they are going to make a bunch of changes, which I think is probably a fair enough point. Like, we're not, are we going to get the 14 try game that we had back in December, the 12 point win for Leinster, or is there almost an element of a Quinny that of keeping some of the powder dry with what's to come?
No, I think if I think both sides were making a number of changes and could be a completely new team for both sides. So you will see an open game. You will see guys trying to impress, throw the ball around, but they'll not be, you know, putting out the playbook this early in the season, I think, and showing everyone their hands. I think it'll be players having a real go themselves, and you probably will see a high-scoring game. I think there's more of a... My focus, looking back on Ulster last Sunday against Connacht, I think Leinster, the team that everybody looks at, particularly in Ireland anyway, the level of depth in their squad and the kind of standard that they have, even when their perceived second string goes out and plays. And I think Ulster last week were very, very disappointing against Connacht. They openly said they lacked spark. There was a lack of energy about their performance. Billy Burns was quoted as saying, well, we're a team that when we win, we get confidence. And I think relying on winning matches to build confidence, it does bring confidence, but I think being robust and resilient can make you confident, creating opportunities in games, not being soft and porous in defence. That takes away your confidence. And for Dan McFarland's side last week, even though they were qualified, they were in a semi-final, they knew who they were going to be playing, it was a very, very worrying performance for me, because they go to Edinburgh next week to play a semi-final and you can't just switch it on. And like I said, when you look at Leinster, they just seem to have a standard that other teams want to aspire and get to. And, you know, the players just know their role, they know the level of intensity they've got to bring to the performance. And that's something that Ulster didn't do last week. So there's a real emphasis on, even though he'll make a load of changes, Dan McFarland, that Ulster gets some little bit of momentum out of this game. It's a game they probably won't win, but they need to get some level of fight or bite in their performance before they go to Edinburgh next week, because... if there's any more of the same, I don't think they can just go and turn it on in Edinburgh next week. Now, they have been hampered by some injuries, and Addison and Henderson and Dan McFarland took off a couple of four frontline players at half time. But I thought that was a mistake. He should have played them right through, tried to win that game, made the changes for this week, and then be ready to go full metal jacket against Edinburgh. So that is a concern for me. And it's a bit of a... It's a no-win situation here, but I think there's a lot at stake for Ulster, I think, in their performance tomorrow night.
Do you think if Ian Madigan is in the starting 15 when the teams come out later today, Alan, that it's one of the few positions that McFarland will be watching really closely? Like, they did pick for the most part, what would be considered to be their best 15 for that game against Connacht, and they were beaten in it. That at 10, and obviously that dictates an awful lot in terms of how that team's going to play against Edinburgh in that huge game, that if Madigan has a big weekend, and if he can be maybe one of the standout performers in a game that perhaps kickstarts that momentum you're talking about, that Billy Burns might be under a little bit of pressure. And this is Madigan's chance this weekend to show that he is still a real option when it comes to 10 for Ulster, and then in months to come, maybe beyond.
Yeah, I'm sure, Dave, there's no way Ian Madigan signed for Ulster thinking he's going to sit on the bench. He sees an opportunity. He sees a chance to take on Billy Burns for that number 10 slot. Burns has been very, very good for Ulster. We've covered some of the games, and I think he's been superb. He's improved immeasurably in the last season. They've had some big wins in Europe. They got into the knock. They're in the knockout stages. They won 5 games out of 6. They beat Clermont in Belfast. They have a lot of good wins, and they've momentum gained under Dan McFarlane. So I think Madigan would have seen a little bit of growth there. They still need to be far more ruthless, and he needs a performance. I think the Bundiaki try last week is, with respect to everyone, you just don't see that at that level, that a 12 runs from 15, 20 yards out and runs over your fly half and scores under the post. I know he's 100 kilos. He's very, very powerful. But aside from the fact that it's most fly halves would struggle to stop Bundiaki one-on-one like that, he needs more help and support from his flanker, from the centre. And it was that lack of spark and intent from Ulster that just summed up the whole performance. So if you're not going to protect your out half like that, it kind of sums up what the day has been and what it's been like. The only issue for me was Connacht's how it was that close in the end. There was only 6 points. So there's a lot at stake for Ian Madigan. He's a superb footballer. He's got to get a platform from the Ulster forwards and try and play a little bit, but it's not easy. You know, you're playing against the Leinster side. That's, even though there'll be loads of changes there, there's still a lot of quality there. And if he can put in a performance, yeah, he might force his way into contention. But I don't think Burns has done anything wrong, and I think he's been pivotal to Ulster making a little bit of progress and getting some big wins in the last year.
I don't think it's a surprise, though, is it, in a game where they have nothing to play for and they don't have anything like the competition for places that Leinster have. I mean, I put Leinster almost like in the same category as Dublin, the senior football team, and that, yeah, it may be a small enough game and it doesn't really matter whether you win or lose, but if you play badly, there's a good chance you're going to lose your place. That isn't the case up in Ulster. It's very hard for them to get themselves out of this funk until they get to a game where everything's on the line, like next week. The question is whether you can just flip the switch then. It's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, that's the danger, and that's why I thought, you know, when you're a professional player in any of these clubs, I think you've got to look at the rugby season in blocks of 4 or 5 weeks. That's all you can do, particularly with the planning and how the squad depth and a bit of rotation that's going to happen, and you can't play the same team 5 weeks in a trot. So I think that's where I think Dan McFarlane maybe should have kept all these players on last week, gone for that win aggressively with his best players. I know he's 5, 6, 7 players out injured, and that's in his defence. Some of them are top starters for him. They're international players. Henderson's a massive loss. Will Addison's a loss. Marshall's a loss. There's a lot of quality missing there and experience. But, you know, the potential of going in against Edinburgh and having no win in the first two games is not a great position for them to be in. And like you say, getting that little bit of momentum. So there's still a huge opportunity here. Even if Ulster don't win this game, they can take a lot out of it by creating chances, by being really strong defensively, by standing up to Leinster physically. You're going to see a Leinster side that's with a number of changes, but you're going to see guys playing who there's a real hunger for them to try and push and put pressure on the top side in Leinster, you know, and guys playing for contracts and their futures and all that kind of stuff. So it's it doesn't make it any easier, I think, for Ulster. But they've got to show hunger with their younger players and the guys who are going to come in, that they have a future and they have an ability to step up to the plate when needed and try and get something out of the game. Hopefully it is a good game. I think you will see a fair few scores, but Ulster you know, they've got to walk off the field with a bit of feel-good factor that they threw a few punches. They threw none last week.
Quinny, can we just ask you before we wrap, some of the stories we were chatting in the newspapers earlier on about it was all led from the Harry Maguire situation where he was away on his holidays, obviously has got into a bit of bother. But Richard Dunn's been writing in the Herald this morning that as a player, holidays, summer holidays can be an absolute nightmare because you're being dogged for photographs and autographs and hassled and harried all over the place. Things may have quieted down for you, Quinny, over the last couple of years since you retired, but as a player
when you're away,
I said may, didn't I? That's leaving the possibility that it hasn't. But you know, when you're away, whether it's like in a group with players or like a private personal holiday, is it have in your experience, I'm not asking you about Harry Maguire or any of that stuff, but in your experience, is it a hassle? Is it tough to like get away for 10 days or 2 weeks and enjoy yourself without having all the hassle of the hangers on and whatever else?
It's different for different players. I think in rugby, it's by and large, people wouldn't, you know, I've been away on foreign holidays with a number of players and on different occasions, and 99% of the time, it's just goodwill from Irish people who recognise the group of rugby players, and they want a few photos and they want to chat for a few minutes. And we've never had any hassle, I think. Particularly, I don't think if you know, there was five or six rugby players in a group that there'd be a number of locals coming over trying to cause hassle. That's never been the situation. So there's always a chance that something will go wrong. I do feel sorry for Harry Maguire, and I feel that the whole process was rushed through way too quickly. He didn't have a chance to defend himself, and these are the issues that are potentially can arise. And you know, the way the world has changed with social media and camera phones and people videoing you, it's much, much different now than when I went away. I've been away with, you know, some of the big names, if you like, Paul, Rog, people who, you know, they're players that everybody wants a photo with, everyone wants to chat to them, everyone wants to stop them on the street and stuff like that. And it can be different for them. But I think you've got to just be very, very careful and mindful of that fact, particularly soccer players. So we've never really had an issue. The only issue is someone hanging on too long when they've asked for photos and just hanging around with you a little bit. But by and large, it's never been an issue for the groups I've been in. But times have changed. That's probably 7 or 8 years
ago. Would you go out of your way to go somewhere? Would you be deliberately picking somewhere that was a bit out of the way, or would you be wanting to put yourself in the middle of it?
No, I've been in Cyprus, Greece, Turkey with rugby players and my own mates and some of their mates in big groups. And, you know, the only situation that ever happens is Irish people want to get photos if they're passing by, and that's it. And I've never encountered any sort of hassle. But I say it's different when you're standing around with John Hayes with no top on, or Paul O'Connell, and they're, you know, they're not going to get hassled as regards an aggressive approach from anybody. It's usually only people looking for photos and stuff like that. It's a totally different world for the soccer players. But thankfully, we've never had any issues. You know, they ask you, are you Irish? And they welcome you in, and that's it. You have we were in Turkey in 1998. It's a long time ago. There was 12 of us there, 7 rugby players and 5 guys who didn't play rugby, and we were welcome everywhere we went, and we didn't have any hassles with anybody, which was always great. But there is a danger. The world has changed now, as I say, with social media, and people are a little bit more intrusive. Harry Maguire's situation is different. He had an issue with people approaching his sister and stuff like that. I do feel sorry for him, but whether you're away on holidays or not, you know, even if you're here in Ireland, I think it's changing, and the professional rugby players have to be mindful of that. And here in Ireland, that's, you know, there's people sometimes out there who want a bit of hassle and want grief, and you can, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're right at the end of that day. When your name is kind of dragged into it, it looks bad and it tarnishes. So it's a crazy situation at times for people.
Yeah, all right, Quinny, thanks a million.
Cheers.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.